You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast series, Key Updates in Bispecific Antibodies in Non-Hodgkin Lymphoma, NHL, Management, Unmet Needs and Opportunities for Improved Management and Later Line Management. In this episode, we will discuss the latest clinical trial data surrounding the management of NHL using novel bispecific antibody therapies. My name is Dr. Sunali Wadera, and I am pleased to host today's podcast. I'm joined by Dr. Farooq Gulwan, Professor of Internal Medicine and Director of the Lymphoid Malignancies Program at the Harold C. Simmons Comprehensive Cancer Center at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, as well as Dr. Mazyar Shadman, Associate Professor in the Division of Medical Oncology at the University of Washington School of Medicine and Associate Professor in the Clinical Research Division of the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center in Seattle, Washington. Now, the latest ASH meeting brought to the table new data surrounding bispecific antibodies that may be used to treat NHL. In particular, abstracts outlining recent analyses of the ELM-2 trial of odronextamab were published. Can you describe these results and their potential significance?
As you mentioned, we had a number of studies presented at ASH, and bispecific antibodies are always important and to follow. One of the abstracts was the update on the ELM-2 trial, reporting on the outcome, both efficacy and safety of odronextamab for treatment of follicular lymphoma. Just as a quick background for our audience, we have now a number of bispecific antibodies approved. For large B-cell lymphoma, we have epcoritamab and glofitamab, and for follicular lymphoma, we have mosunetuzumab, which is currently approved for follicular lymphoma. Odronextamab is another CD20, CD3 bispecific antibody that in September 23 received the FDA. FDA actually accepted the priority review process. And so this drug, odronextamab, may be approved based on this the data and the data for large B-cell lymphoma, for both large B-cell lymphoma and follicular lymphoma. So it's important to follow the long follow-up efficacy and safety from this drug. The ELM-2 trial had recently been presented at the European Hematology Association in 23, and before that at the American Society of Hematology meeting, ASH 22. So we had some initial ideas about the high efficacy and a very favorable safety profile of this drug. In follicular lymphoma, we were looking at the CR rate of 75%, which is very impressive and in this high-risk population. And what we saw recently at ASH 23 was, again, another update of the ELM-2 trial. This is a phase 2 study that looked at 140 patients, and these patients received that initial step-up regimen and followed by the dose of 80 or 160 milligram every 2 weeks. And the median follow-up was more than 2 years with this report, which really provided an interesting efficacy update for us. The median duration of CRs was 22 months, and the median progression-free survival was also 21 months, and the median overall survival was not reached. So we're looking at, now with this report, we're looking at an overall response rate of 80% and a complete response rate of 72%. And again, this is odronextamab in follicular lymphoma. You know, of course, in any disease, and specifically in indolent non-Hodgkin lymphoma, disease like follicular lymphoma, where there's so many other options, you do want to look at the safety profile. And, you know, with this step-up approach, the grade 3 cytokine release syndrome was seen in only one patient, and there was no report of grade 4 or grade 5, and there was one case of low-grade ICANS. And again, we're looking at less than 1% incidence of both CRS or ICANS. So this is important, as these drugs are intended to be used in the settings, in the community practices, or even in practices without experience with CAR T therapy. So the safety profile is important. It does not mean that the facilities and physicians and health professionals should not be educated or trained and be prepared for the side effects, but it's always good to see a safety profile like this. So, you know, it's important because, as I mentioned, we may And sounds like from what we're seeing, again, the data for both follicular and large cell lymphoma may lead to the approval of this drug. So I think it was an important abstract that we saw at ASH.
And I agree that some of the main issues in patients with relapse disease is always efficacy and obviously the toxicity. And similarly, on the large cell lymphoma side, in the ELM-2 study, a lot of patients with relapse disease, high-risk features, extensive prior treatments were treated with a step-up dosing regimen with odronextamab. And, you know, initially in this patient population, there really are no established therapies. So what was important was that the study was able to demonstrate a CR of around 30 to 40% in that ballpark, 31% CRs. And there was some durability of responses around 10 months or so. So I think these are encouraging data in a very difficult to treat patient population. What was more important for me was that the tolerability was very good. The vast majority, if not all the patients, had very low grade CRS. 98% were grade 1 and 2. Just a few patients, one or two patients, had more than grade 1 and 2, which means that those should be able to be easily managed with supportive care intervention. So this makes it very promising and potentially an option which can be used in a varied setting with the right support system, because you want to be able to be ready to manage the patients who has a bad outcome. So, but I think this was encouraging first steps that these therapies are, one, effective in a difficult to treat population, especially post CAR T cell therapy, and number two, that they're well tolerated for the most part. One thing that I would mention is, again, from our experience in our center in treating patients like these, is the close monitoring that's required for infectious complications that still remain a big problem in this subset. These patients are immunocompromised because of the prior treatments. And even with bispecific antibodies, we have to manage their risk of infectious complications closely, prophylactic treatments, monitoring for recurrent viral infections. COVID infections are here to stay with us. So treating them aggressively through that, I have personal experience treating patients with that. Sometimes those patients need a break from therapy to treat the COVID infection and then resume therapy. So there are multiple strategies to handle patients who do get a fair number of infectious complications as expected in this immunocompromised patient cohort. But the future is bright. I think these are the first steps towards improving our understanding of the appropriate use of bispecific therapy in this relapsed patients, both with large cell lymphoma and obviously with follicular lymphoma.
Speaking of the future, where should clinicians be focusing their attention when assessing new data on these agents and disease states?
So I feel that it's a very histology-specific approach that we have to think about. Where will our intervention be most likely to have an impact? So when I'm talking about or thinking about large cell lymphoma, for example, my intent is to cure. And I firmly believe, and I feel that most people will believe, that the best chance of curing the patient is with first-line therapy. If once the cancer comes back, we have seen over the years, and I'm talking not just the current era where we have access to a fair number of novel therapies, non-chemotherapies, from the era of, you know, chemotherapy, cytarabine, gemcitabine, oxaliplatin, and so on. You know, we've been using all of these approaches for such a long period of time, even before the rituximab era. If you look at all of that data, consistently over the years, the relapsed large cell lymphoma patients respond to subsequent therapy in the 30 to 40% range. That is it. It's one trial might show a slightly better outcome. One trial might show a slightly worse outcome. And obviously, those are smaller studies. But across the board, nothing has really been outstanding or curative in the relapse setting. So I really firmly believe that our best chance of improving outcomes for our patients remain in the frontline setting. How can we better optimize therapy in the frontline setting to cure the maximum number of patients? At the same time, I also understand that there are some patients with low-risk disease who may not need to get such intense or new therapies because the standard therapies that we have available would be able to cure the vast majority of the low-risk patients. So especially for the high-risk IPI patients or patients with other high-risk disease features on the molecular typing, those are the patients that I feel need to be targeted first, and we need to optimize therapy to improve our cure rates for those patients, and I feel the rest will follow. So clinical trials designed to optimize therapies based on the molecular signature of the disease is what's needed, because we have to realize that large cell lymphoma is not one disease. It's multiple different diseases under the one umbrella, and we have to start doing therapy tailored towards the disease biology. I think that's the only way we can cure a substantial percentage of our patients, and clinical trials is the only answer for long-term better outcomes for patients with large cell lymphoma. On the other hand, with follicular lymphoma, it's a completely different philosophy or approach. You are trying to get long-term remissions. Time-limited therapy becomes a much more relevant concept in that setting, because you don't want a toxic therapy or any therapy for that matter for a long period of time. So completely different challenges. But I feel the best opportunities for both these diseases lie in the frontline setting rather than in the relapse setting. So more and more of these therapies need to transition to frontline therapy. And that's the only way we are going to be able to do that is through participation in clinical trials.
You know, we're now starting to see large cell lymphoma, and I 100% agree that the goal should be to cure patients the first line setting and just be done, right? So, but you know, unfortunately, we see relapses, and for patients who are not exposed to bispecific antibodies, because that is a topic of discussion today, in the earlier line, definitely sounds like we're seeing maybe for the first time some kind of a maintenance type therapy in large cell lymphoma that's providing remissions that are long lasting. You know, we need much longer follow-up to be convinced that we are curing patients with these drugs, but that the shape of the curves, the duration of follow-up, and our anecdotal experiences in different institutions, they're all indicating that you are probably curing a number of patients. Now, do you need that maintenance long-term therapy, or are you achieving what you need to achieve in the first few months of therapy? That's a question that needs to be answered. So I think that's one point that remember that you're now starting to have a menu for this, definitely for indolent lymphomas. You have different treatments that can be given as a continuous therapy or time limited, and depending on patient preferences and the logistics and you know, levels of access to care that they have, you can hopefully come up with a right treatment for each patient. The other factor with bispecific antibodies in general as a class, you're looking at an effective class that is also coming with a pretty good safety profile, and we will get better at both even dropping those rates of CRS and ICANS. I think strategies like step up or ramp up and then kind of preemptive use of different drugs that would drop those numbers to hopefully closer to zero, that's one thing. And then that gives you the opportunity of combining these drugs to other effective agents. So I think what we will be looking forward to seeing in upcoming meetings and publications is like how much better can we be by combining these drugs to other effective classes. You know, it could be oral drugs, sometimes chemotherapy backbones. So my opinion, bispecific antibodies as a class are here to be just to stay and to be part of our treatment regimens, and you know, can be hopefully safely combined with many other classes. And at the end, you know, I understand, and it's true that right now we're not talking about cure in low-grade lymphomas, but you know, that's all in the setting of old drugs that we had, right? So if we have the opportunity of using immunotherapy drugs like CAR drug bispecifics, and you know, maybe with combination with other agents, maybe in years from now, we can talk about curing patients even with low-grade lymphoma.
Thank you so much for your valuable insights. That's all the time we have for today. I would like to thank Drs. Owen and Shadman for taking the time to speak today about the latest available clinical trial data surrounding the management of non-Hodgkin lymphoma using bispecific antibody therapies. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. We hope you will listen to another episode from this series. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would like to give a special thank you to our supporter, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, who provided an educational grant for this activity.